Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. Unto them that are being saved. What does this mean? Let me explain the cross life. The cross life, and it doesn't just happen. You just discover that the Holy Spirit begins to work it out in your life gradually. But the summary of this working in your life is that you realize that you are not living for yourself. It is no longer about you. When it says you are dead to yourself, let me say, if you do not come to terms with the fact that your life is not about your pleasure, you will never be able to overcome some sins, especially the certain sins that you enjoy. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you have not come to terms to the truth that my father-in-law told one story, and that just really cemented this point. He said that there was one woman that her husband died, and the man was young. So she didn't accept. You know, have you ever seen people that somebody died, but they don't accept that the person is dead? They don't just accept reality. They say it's a lie. This person is not. The person is dead, but they don't accept. So she didn't accept that her husband was dead. So every time her husband will be showing up in her dream, and her husband will come and be warning her that she must not remarry, that she's his wife. She's a young woman. You know that it is abnormal for you as a believer to be seeing people that have died in your dream. If you see that rape, that's a familiar spirit. That's not the spirit of the dead. They've gone to where they are going to. They don't go about showing up in your dream. If your dead uncle or your dead, relative or your grandmother, I love my grandmother so much. I think there was one time that something wanted to appear to me in my dream. I say, you are go. You appear where? We will meet during the resurrection. Don't let familiar spirits not come and confuse my life. Amen? I knew it wasn't my grandma. My grandma was a believer. She loved the Lord. She was baptized in the Holy Ghost. She prayed in tongues like no one's business. I said, that's not her. And that stopped. Because I wasn't going to give room for that. But it was some people. So this woman, her husband died. She keeps seeing him in her dream. So they had to tell her that, madam, you need to accept that your husband is dead. Reckon him dead. And when she accepted that he's dead and stopped living in denial, you know what happened? He stopped showing up in her dreams. Many times, the believers struggle with sin because they have not reckoned their life, their flesh dead. They still think that they still live for pleasure. They still live for them. It's still about me, myself, and I, what I can get, what pleasure I can get. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Whereas when you come into the kingdom of God, you are no longer living for pleasure. You are living for God. Amen? But let me tell you something. If you are living for pleasure, you will ultimately not get pleasure. You will end up in eternal torment. But it is those that live for God. The Bible says, in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. Jesus said, he that will deny his life, that will lose his life, will what? Will gain it. But he that will gain his life, will what? Will lose it. How do you lose your life? When you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you had ambitions. You had all of those things that you have arranged. You know what? You no longer live for those things. It's now, Lord, what do you want me to do? If it so happens that those things that you had planned align with what God is actually wanting you to do, you are doing it because you just realize that this is now what God wants me to do. That is what it means to live a crucified life. That's what it means to live a life of offer your body as a living sacrifice. Let me share with you a little secret. Whenever I notice that, because I'm a human being and I'm not going to stand here and behave as if I'm not a human being and I do not have a body of flesh, that would be untrue. Paul referred to this body as this body of sensuality and the grave. He says, it is when this body is done away with that our real nature as the sons of God will be revealed, will be manifested. That's during the resurrection. Whenever I realize that lust is entering my heart, let me tell you something. When you realize, are you getting my point? Please. When the Bible says watch and pray, you must learn how to watch so that you can pray properly. And one of the things you watch is your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it proceeds the issues of life. When lust is entering your heart, don't wait for the lust to grow and start dropping fruit. Most of the time, when it starts yielding fruit, it will be very difficult for you to deal with that lust. So you deal with it when you notice that it's entering your heart. That's when you should pray. Don't, you know, many times you can pamper lust in your heart for 2 weeks. Until you start opening websites that are not convenient. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. And if you pamper that one, it will lead to full blown effect. May the Lord give us understanding. So how do you deal with it? You don't wait till when you notice that it is your heart, your guards are now down, the loss is entering. That's when you enter prayer. And sometimes you will add fasting. Amen? Yeah, you will add fasting. If you understand that technology, the demons will be looking at you like a marvel. Because they would have used 3 years to set a trap for you. And you will not perceive the trap. Because you understand the principle of watching and praying. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it proceeds the issues of life. So whenever you notice that maybe lust is entering your heart, there are 3 things you should watch out against. The most dominant of them, especially among young people, is lust. And we all know what lust is. When you notice that lust is entering your heart, before it begins to manifest and bear visible fruits, tell yourself that, remember that you have reckoned yourself dead. Remember, you've reckoned yourself dead. So it's no longer about the way I feel or what I want. So it's time to pray. And when you are fasting, you say, I know I cooked food. I cooked food. And I've not even eaten the food. The food is, I just put it inside the fridge. Chibuzo can bear me witness. You cook one soup and then you just realize that lust is strolling around the corridors of your heart. You say, okay, in spite of the food, you put, let the food remain in the fridge. It's time to pray and fast. When you pray and fast, you just discover that lust will lose its magnetic power. It will lose its potency. That's how to deal with this thing. So, amen?
Amen.
The second one is greed. That one, many times, many people have mastered dealing with loss, but they don't know how to track greed. Now, you know how to track loss whenever you just realize that you saw Sister Tracy and you just wanted to hug her. And the hug is not holy hug. You just realize that you are just one magnet. It's just you just say, no. This is what? This is lust. You are just feeling one kind. Lust is strolling around the corridor of your it wants to enter the room of the, don't let it enter. Amen? So what do? You watch and you pray. You deal with it in a place. That's how Jesus dealt with sin. That's why Jesus didn't sin. It wasn't because Jesus understood how to deal. Do you remember that before Jesus went to the cross, his body didn't want to go to the cross? The reason why Jesus did not run away from the cross, you know that they could have slapped the boy. You know they slapped him. And they say, what? Oh yeah, die. All of them will fall down and die. Say, I know they do again. Kill it. What? And just walk away. And you know what? The angels of God just come and clear the planet. No human being. Oh, you don't know that if Jesus Christ did not die, the humankind would have gone extinct. The reason why God has kept humanity is because of the hope of his calling. The reason why God created humankind is no longer an unattainable hope because of the coming of Jesus. Because God had a reason for creating man. And God does not waste anything. Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and he still told them to gather the remnant. God does, he's not in the habit of wasting. Okay, that was a digression. The second one you must learn to track, which is actually more difficult. In fact, it is so deceitful that Jesus Christ referred to it as the deceitfulness of riches. It's easy to track lust. Sometimes you may not know it is lust that is doing you. You may think it is puberty if you are still immature. Amen. You know, when you are, maybe you give your life to Jesus Christ very young, maybe at the age of 11, then you got to a point all of a sudden, you now start noticing things that you normally don't notice in sisters. And you say it's puberty. You may not know that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or you may be a lady now, and you are feeling one kind, and you say it's because you are on your period. It's not any period. Eh? It's what? Lust. How do you deal with it? You deal with it in the place of prayer. You deal with it in the place of fasting. My friend, Dr. Emmanuel, he believes that fasting is, that prayer and fasting are not different. That fasting is a way of prayer. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. This other one is very difficult to track. Greed. King James actually called the first one lust of the flesh. More modern translation calls the first one lust, because modern English we call it lust. The second one, King James calls it lust of the eye. But more modern translations we call it greed or covetousness. When you notice that one is actually more wicked. It is because it is very deceptive. It will be in your heart and you will not know it is in your heart. You will not know when you start living for material gain. You will know. You will not know when you start serving mammon and you are not serving God. Whereas life is about serving God. You know, if lust is operating in a man's life, the man will be serving pleasure. He will be living for pleasure. The thing people used to do because of lust, then, sometimes it marvels me. Where is it? A young lady that has never traveled before. We travel to Sokoto because she wants to go and meet boy. For those of you that had dealt with loss, you know what I'm talking about. Before the Lord delivered you, someone will say, I don't have data, but when it comes to pornography, they will find data. That is what is called live for pleasure. That's the lowest level of living. It's fleshly living. And that's where the devil, that one. The second level is living for you know, material things. Serving mammon. And that one is, the reason why it is so deceitful is that, let us face it, we won't be here if we didn't have some level of money. Just this morning, we forgot to pay for the hall. So this morning we sent money to pay for this hall. We are paying for this hall. This preaching that we are preaching now, we won't be able to do this without some level of money. Right? We are live streaming now. It takes money. The data that is we use to stream is worth thousands. Streaming consumes a lot of data. It's money. I'm sure you didn't fly here. If you enter the car, it's money they use to buy that car. And it's money that they use to put fuel in that car. Whether you are the one that owns the car, Abby. Or you enter transport. Even if you trekked, maybe you wore shoe. Did you give birth to the shoe? Amen? Amen. You bought it with money. What I'm saying is that you need money to survive. That's the way this world is structured. And God knows that you have needs. In fact, Jesus Christ said that God knows that you have needs. So he said, ask and it will be given unto you. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So, because of how legitimate money is, it is very easy for it to go just beyond legitimate and become a goal in your life, where every motion of your life is about money. Now, whenever you realize that mammon, whenever you notice that lust of the flesh, you know how to deal with it. You pray, you fast. When you pray, and maybe you are used to doing normal fasting, you may fast for one day, it won't work. Are you getting my point? If you are not used to doing normal fasting, if you fast for one day, it may work. But if you are not used to doing normal, if you are used to doing normal fasting, that your normal fast will not catch that strong. You may need to go on dry fasting. Do 24 hours, 48 hours without food. That same person that you were looking at, and the person was doing like a magnet, you will see after 48 hours of that fasting, you see the person will just be like a boy. You see, you will know that yes. We have dealt with it. And when you add prayer and the word to that of fasting, that strength will continue. And whenever you now find that temptation is now, you go on another one again. Amen. You know, for a man that is not a man that still lives for himself, he cannot do dry fasting. He can't. But whenever the cross means that you've come to terms with this truth, that your flesh, your life is dead. He says, it is no longer I that live. I have been crucified with Christ. He said, the life that I now live, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. So everything about you is about pleasing the Lord. If you do not come to terms, you know, many people still want to please themselves. They say, I want to hammer. It's because you don't know God. If you know God, you know that God is good. If you know God, you know that God's plans are better than your plans. So you will trust him. You know, some people, are you understanding what I'm saying? May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. The second one, the most difficult, very difficult to track is what? Greed. And you will know greed when you are now beginning, you will know it has entered your heart when you are now beginning to rationalize because of money. That's, you are now beginning to disobey God small. Things that you will know that greed has entered your heart. Because greed is that, let me explain what greed is. Greed, when a person, they say someone is greedy, that means the person always wants to take more than they need. You have one plate of food, he has one plate of food. That one plate of food is enough for me, his own one plate of food is enough for him. If I now want to take half of his plate of food to add to mine, what would they say? They say, I'm greedy. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. The Bible says, having food and raiment wherewith we should be contented. I don't know if we can talk on this greed matter, because it's very, very complex. Because there are many of us that God is going to bless beyond and above. In fact, I think the last two word encounters ago, there was a word of prophecy, and I began to see the manifestation. Unfortunately, Austin is not here again because doors are opening. Amen?
Amen.
You remember Austin, right?
Yes, sir.
And I know some other people also that doors are opening for them. Oh, and they will continue to open.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But you need to realize that when doors open for you and you have more money than you need, it's not because God wants you to begin to buy things that you don't need. It's because God wants you to meet, to help those that need. And they will be around you. Are you getting my point? If you begin to realize that you have more money than you need, that's not when you say, we are giving no more low Gucci watch. Are you getting my point? Then you, all of a sudden, you see, all these palace are shoes that I've even buying. Say, what is all this? Now, there are going to be times that you are going to need really good shoes. Maybe the shoes you have are not really good. Amen? But you, when you are now beginning, are you, when you are now beginning to buy a shoe to make a statement, watch it. Something is beginning to enter in. Buy things because you need them. Don't buy things because they are making a statement. Because that becomes even what the Bible calls pride of life, which is actually the most difficult to track. Because every child was born with that one. Amen? Amen? So whenever God begins to give you more than you need, realize that it is not so that you begin to buy things that you don't need. It's because God wants you to help the people in need that are around you. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. And let me tell you something. When you are faithful that way, God will bless you beyond your imagination. God will bless you beyond your imagination. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And yet, you will never, those blessings will never be the objective of your life. Life is about serving Jesus. You know, there's something I realize. Okay, I'm not going to say this now because I'm still dealing with it. Life is about serving God. And everything that God gives you, when is supposed to help you to serve Him more effectively. What did I say? Life is about serving God, and everything that God gives you is supposed to help you to serve Him more effectively. When money becomes a burden that is making you not be able to serve God effectively, check it. Greed has been mingled. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and He adds no sorrow. Amen? If you are going to stay with the Lord, the blessing of God will not be the reason why you will now no longer. Before you were able to do evangelism, all of a sudden you have become a billionaire. I say, hey, what if they kidnap me? You better find a place you will do evangelism and they will not kidnap you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Make sure that your output does not reduce because of your blessing. You say, hey, me like this. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Actually, our topic for today was we started a topic called understanding the call. Understanding your calling. And let me tell you something. Beyond those specific assignments, you need to realize that God, the reason why God has called you, the Bible says, and thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Your desire, your greatest desire in this life should be to please God. It should be to please God. And many times, unfortunately, because of the way we have found ourselves, many times, pleasing God might mean not pleasing yourself temporarily. If I wanted to please myself, I wouldn't be here preaching right now. Because even if I tell you that there is no word encounter today, you will understand. Amen. No, you will understand. There's nobody in Streamloop Network that I will call and that I will send a message on and say there's no word encounter. That they will not, they will say, it's true. No, I mean, let him rest. But I just knew, I think it was even on Wednesday or so, on Thursday, that the Lord wanted us to have this meeting. I was like, oh my God. There are so many things I need to do today. But I knew that God wants me to be here. And that's why I'm here. So I'm not going to be surprised when I see angels. Because this is sacrifice. And the way you furnish an altar is by sacrifice. Whenever you see an altar that they've not made sacrifice in for a long time, especially if it's a weak altar, you are finding an altar that the demonic traffic, if it's a demonic altar, will be weak. And whenever they want to strengthen the traffic, they want to strengthen the demonic traffic. Because the way angels help you, that's how demons help, in quote. Are you getting my point? The people that are in the world. You see a man building a house, and so that the project will continue, because he has enemies. And those enemies will also employ some other kinds of demons to hinder his prosperity in that cause. He will go and build establish an altar by sacrifice on that plot of land. And what he's doing is that he's calling out some demons to come and help him and fight away the other demons. Are you getting my point? So they understand sacrifice. You must also understand sacrifice in the kingdom of God. When you are living for God, When you are doing God's business, God will do your business. I want us to make up our minds today that we are going to allow the cross of Christ to be strong over our lives. It is not about me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. You are going to learn to deny your flesh. The Bible says, Jesus said, he that will be my disciple, he that will follow me, must deny himself, take up his cross. That is his assignment. There's a reason for which God gave you life. But in order for you to be able to take up your cross, you must what? Deny yourself. Many people want to know their cross. I hope you know that the reason why Jesus is so glorified, because if Jesus had come and he didn't fulfill the ministry that God gave him, he didn't die on the cross, you know he would have not been highly exalted and given a name that is above every other name. Right? Because he didn't come with any glory. In order for him to attain that glory back, he needed to be glorified. And the reason he was glorified was because he fulfilled his assignment. And the reason why you will be glorified, make no mistake about it, it's not because you came out for altar call and you speak in tongues. It's because you fulfill your assignment. You what? You take up your cross. But you cannot even know what your cross is and take up any cross if you do not understand denial, self-denial. As you begin to understand self-denial, God begins to make it clear to you why you are in Utah, why you are in Nigeria at this time. He begins to make it clear to you why he gave you the ability to remember things that other people have forgotten. He says he must deny himself, take up his cross, and what? And follow me. Some of you are not yet taking up your cross. There is no glory without cross. So may God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Yeah. Remember, we talk about the millennial reign of Christ. Some of my friends were teasing me over the weekend that it's hard for me to preach without talking about millennial reign. I say, my wife responded and I say, yeah, it's one of the messages that the Lord has given him, and it's true. It's one of the messages. If you listen to me preach maybe 5 times or 10 times. You hear me talk about the millennial reign. Amen? Yes. The millennial reign of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. How that we are going to be glorified. Oh, I want to even enter that place again. I'm not going there. How utter we still be called utter when Jesus will come and rule and reign over the earth. And some of us will rule and reign with him. You want to reign in glory? The Bible says that if we will what? We will reign with him. Let me tell you something. We understand this by life. Life has taught us that no pain, no gain. You see, a person now is a doctor. He walks into the room, all the nurses stand up, everybody stands up. You think he got there by lying down on his bed and eating popcorn and watching Netflix? There was a time when he put in some suffering, right? He read. He burned the midnight candle and now he's having his form of glory. The governor is coming and I see people standing. You think it's easy to be a politician? You know, many of us say, that thing is not easy. You know the things that those people do, both in darkness and in light. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. We understand that. The Bible says that if we suffer with him, we will what? We will reign with him. The Bible says that our light affliction is nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The next time the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, leads you, and it looks difficult, don't fall for the temptation of disobedience. There are many things that the Lord will have you do that will not be convenient. Amen? Amen. Oh, you think that evangelism we do on Sunday is convenient? You think it's convenient? Sometimes you talk to small boys and they will talk to you anyhow. And you know, I'm learning to like it because it teaches me humility. Amen? Because let me tell you something about humility. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. May God, I think it's time for us to pray. I want us to pray that, Lord, help me to remember. Because you can go here and go and use what you've heard to watch film and forget it. To remember that life is not about pleasing me, it's about pleasing you. And help me to remember that your will is better than my desires. Your will, your plans for me are good plans. They are better than my plans for me. So I lay my plans on the altar. I drop my ambition and I take up your vision. I say, I live for you. I no longer live for myself. I don't know what ideas you have had in your heart since when you were a child. The point you wanted to prove to the people in your village. Drop all of that. Don't worry. You will see that the plans that God has for you are better than those plans. Say, Lord, I no longer live for myself. I live for you. I live for Jesus. Neko pasha bale de de bosozobolis. Laga baloma suninge pato bale de 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 de. Help me to live for you. Help me to live for you. Deliver me, Lord, from the allurements. Deliver me, Lord, from the dazzle. Deliver me from the distraction of this world. In the name of Jesus. I want the power of God to be present and potent in my life. I want the power of God to be in my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Paul said that I am not ashamed of the cross of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto them that are being saved. Listen to me. If you do not live the cross life, you will not be a powerful Christian. There is something called soulish power. You want to tap into soulish power, give yourself to fasting and prayer and all of that. You will tap into soulish power. That's not the power of the cross. Are you getting my point? You want to know who is really powerful? A guy that walks into a place, sits down in a chair that they have done incantation in on top for 3 months. He didn't even know. He didn't pray. He sat down, everything condemned on the chair. That's a powerful man. If he needed to do his prayer for 3 weeks before he sat down on that chair, he's not powerful. The power of the cross is not... The God is not the mate of the devil. You see, many of us are stabbed into soulish power. If the Holy Spirit permits me, I will do a teaching on the latent power of the soul. And how many believers, what they are doing, that thing they are doing, they call Christianity, is soulish power. That's why sometimes you will look at them and say, this life is not a life to live. Always from one battle to another. Battle, 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 battle. Every day, battle. If the witch that attacked, the witch that died yesterday, another one has taken her place. You are a militant Christian. You are not a triumphant Christian if you live that kind of life. And that is not the life. You live that life when you don't understand the power of the cross. When you come into the economy of the power of the cross, you will be praying and fasting, but you can pray for 70 days. You will not remember to mention witches or the devil. You are communing with your Father in heaven. And God is fighting your battles for you. See, I get into a point where I get disturbed by all of those things and I begin to pray those kind of militant prayer, and the Holy Spirit sometimes taps me and reminds me, say, you have left the place of sacrifice. You are now living for yourself. And when I repent and I say, Lord, I live for you, I forget about those battles. I just realize that God has fought those battles for me. The Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The Bible says, thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many of you have you ever sent incantation to? They've sent incantation. I've received, that's happened to me more than once. Where they will send incantation, they will record incantation on WhatsApp and send it to you. How many of you have they ever buried ram for? You know, they went to bury, they went to bury ram and they called your name there. You know the way I could overcome that? I didn't even know, it was my manager that came to tell me, oh God, they don't go bury ram, he was afraid. I said, don't worry. All those people that buried ram, it is the thing they wanted to happen to me that happened to them. The thing they wanted to happen to me did not happen to me. Here I am today preaching the gospel. Amen. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When they bury ram for people and they are being afflicted, they will bring them to you. You will lay your hands on them and pray a 5-minute prayer, and a problem that was cooked for 3 months will vanish in 5 minutes because you are a man of sacrifice. As I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself because I'm saying, Lord, help me to come to that place. Or I don't live for myself again. I live for Jesus. I live for Jesus. Leko paso mana. He says the cross is the power of God unto them that are being saved. Do you want the power of God in your life? The power that demons, that dazzles principality and powers. Say, Lord, give me the grace to live the life of the cross. To take up my cross. To deny myself daily. And take up my cross and follow you. Malengete balongo patalai. Lesoto kopateke paso malengi kete kete mo. Ampaye de bosone katalai. Lejo de kete kete boso bole kete kete des. Malaka pateke posolo katalis. I can tell you testimony upon, is it this my wedding that we just had? Testimony upon testimony of how God fights your battle for you when you allow Him to rule your life. When you allow Him to rule your life. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to tell you this last testimony before we sit down, and because we have to go now. One of my friends comes from a very diabolical family. If you are from Kogi State, if I tell you where he's from in Kogi State, you know what I'm talking about. And some things happened in the family. His dad died and they were supposed to do some burial rites and they couldn't do it because they are now Christians. They said they were not going to do. Amen? And he was the one, he's not the first son, no. He was the one that stood and said, he's my friend, he's a believer, he loves the Lord. He said, he's not going to, they are not going to do. They warned them, and people have died. I mean, we're talking about, I know that people. They said that, if you don't do that sacrifice, the first son is the first person that will die, followed by the second son, before the daughter start dying. You know that? And they can tell you the track record of everybody in that village that has died like that. My friend now came to tell me, I said, did the people do the sacrifice? He said, no. I said, Now this is what I was speaking by the Spirit. You know what I told him? I said, I can guarantee you one thing. They can't kill you. You are my friend. They cannot kill you. I say, but for your brother, you have to stand as a priest for him. Are you getting it? I didn't realize how. Now, please, I wasn't just talking, no. Because you will talk, some of you will talk like that. They will show up in your dream the next night. I wasn't just talking. And I didn't get there because I am strong in myself. It's because I am weak. I have surrendered to Jesus. And I was recounting that story to my wife and somebody else. And it just dawned on me. I was like, what? I said, how did you get to this level where you can tell somebody? And that thing I told him, it's not a joke. I said, you, don't worry, they can't do anything to you. Because this is not the first. There was a time that they wanted to kill him. There was a time he was supposed to have an accident about 2 years ago. I called him, I prayed for him, I said, nothing is going to happen to you. You know, there are some people that the devil cannot touch because they are close to you. Yes. Because those demons know that. It's just like if they hear that the president is your brother. You know, there are some people that will not touch you. Please pray that God will bring you to the place of sacrifice where you can be a priest, not just for yourself but for your family members, where you can be a priest not just for yourself but for your friends. Say, Lord, bring me to that place of sacrifice. It's not about me. Many of you are stronger than me. If it is prayer, you can go on fasting. It's just by surrendering to Jesus and say, Lord, I surrender my will. I surrender my ambition. You are my Lord. You are my God. I live to please you. Thank you, Jesus. That is the secret of power. That is the secret of power. That is the real secret of power in the kingdom of God. The cross. He says, I'm not ashamed of the cross. He says, it may be foolishness to the world, but it is the power of God to they that believe. It is the power of God. When you begin to live the cross life, you will find the power of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Say, Lord, let the power of the cross begin to manifest in my life. Let the power of the cross. Mazoko Is it casting out demons? You will cast out demons for breakfast. Mazoka. Without prayer and fasting. You will pray and fast by the power of the cross. It will no longer be a burden to you. It will be your normal life because it is power that is sponsoring it. Jesus, help me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now let's pray for ourselves that the Lord will carry us through. Please pray for me that the Lord will help me. I will not fall by the wayside. Many people have made a shipwreck of the faith. It's not he that begins, it is he that continues to the end. Many people have started, but they have not run. We are not saying this in fear. We are saying it in humility, realizing that without the help of God, we cannot make it. And that's why we pray for one another, and we pray for yourself. Say, Lord, carry me to the end. Carry me through. Many people have made a shipwreck of their faith. Many people have denied the faith secretly in their hearts. They have turned to another God. Carry me through, that at the end of my life, I will still know you. The power of the cross will still be present in my life. Say, Lord, help me that on that day, I will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the most important thing to hear. That is the most important reward to receive. That you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord says, well done. The Lord says, well done. Hey, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of Almighty God. Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we warn all men. He said, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we warn all men. He said, Lord, I do not want to appear before you and see you angry because I wasted my life, because I wasted my time. Jesus, help me.